church this morning, just praying that the service will speak to you in a very profound way. I'm just going to ask that we stand to our feet one more time if we can, and raise our hands. I had a picture this morning of if someone was going to give you something, or they're going to throw something at you that was valuable, that was really important, what would our stance be like? What would our expression be like? So what I want us to do symbolically this morning and spiritually is to posture yourself to receive something from Jesus, to have a stance ready to catch something that is incredibly valuable that could change your life. So why don't we do that this morning? Raise your hands right across this place. I want to pray over you today that you will catch something supernatural, something spiritual, something amazing that can change the future of your life, can change the inside out of your existence. So right now, Lord God, I pray for every person who has their hand outstretched to you, Lord, with a posture to receive something valuable, something important, something amazing. So we just pray today that we want to have our hearts open, our spirits willing, and our minds receptive right now to the things of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we'll leave this place with something incredibly valuable that can only come from you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Give someone a fist pump on the way down, and we'll get right into this morning. So something we're doing is we're live streaming the services these days. So we're live streaming today. So Mum, nice to see you. And she's my one and only audience outside this room. And you're the studio audience today. So let's give yourselves a hand, the studio audience. Great to have you with us. No, you don't. You get a coffee at the end of the service. So in these times in which we are living, the world is dealing with stuff enough to break society down. So I don't think we stop to really consider the way life is going these days, and the changes that we've had to adapt to is some pretty heavy stuff. It's even enough to break society down. And if we're not aware, it can break us down too, as individuals, as Christians, as the church. But we are not to become so discouraged that we lose our spirit. I want to encourage you today to keep the Spirit of God alive in your life. Be a person who is continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, a person who is desiring after the things of God in such a way that no matter what else happens, that you know your foundation is firm. Now, I know there is something happening across the church. I'm talking about the church global, the church in the Western world, the church wherever, the church in Australia. There's something going on in the church in these times, and Jesus is stirring the church to awaken to new things. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether we're brand new to church or whether we've been in this game for a long time. I know that God is wanting to stir us into something fresh, something powerful, something that we've never seen before or experienced before. And I know there is something happening here in this church because Jesus is stirring us to awaken to something new. So there are many things that are wrong in the world. There's so many things that are wrong in the world and I guess highlighted over recent months and years. But it's a messed up place. People are feeling betrayed. People are bewildered, perhaps disoriented, and are dividing. The world is being divided by different issues today. But I use all those things to bring to your attention the world is slipping. It's on a slippery slope. And the slide, we can see morals are slipping. Integrity is slipping. Righteousness is slipping. Society is dividing. And when truth is eroded, everything slides. So Jesus gives traction when everything else is slipping around you. If you've slipped a bit or a lot, it's time to get your traction back. So I really sense as I was preparing myself for today is God wants to encourage people today, because you know, particularly this year, there has been things that have rocked your life, things that have rocked your world, things that have caused you to slip back from the things that you once had, particularly the things you had in God, the things that were dear to you, the things that you thought, well, I've got that area covered. I'm feeling blessed. I'm feeling protected. I'm feeling like I'm secure in the things of God. Things have upset that equilibrium in your life. That was an amazing word. That has upset things in your life that has caused you to lose ground, to lose confidence, to lose faith in the purpose of God for your life. So, in among all that, Jesus is waiting for you to have awakened moments where you rediscover his purpose for your life again. See, there are those that are fixated with social engineering. In our country today, there's a fixation with social engineering to change the social fabric of our society. Now, Jesus is fixated as well. He's fixated on bringing you into a spiritual awakening that delivers us from evil. See, I want to see a church that is fixated with what Jesus is fixated in. I want to see a church that is filled with the power of God. I want to see a church that is filled with faith. I want to see a church that is filled with victory. I want to see a church that doesn't stand on a slippery slope, but stands on a firm foundation and stands against the plans that the enemy has for this country. So we have a spiritual awakening that delivers us from evil. See, that's the kind of traction that Jesus wants you into. He wants you to be into a traction life that takes ground, not loses it. So Jesus gives traction when everything else is slipping around you. Our first scripture for this morning is Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 23. We won't read it all to you. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. So it's the invitation to a banquet. Who's heard this message before? It's a well-known portion of scripture. We preach from it a lot. But it's an invitation to a banquet, a great feast. But those who were invited didn't want to go. Verse 18 says, they all began making excuses. There's a spiritual slide away from God. The metaphor in this story is a spiritual slide away from God. Verse 21, so no one who was invited is willing to come to this banquet. And so the master of the banquet says, invite others from town. He says, go and find the poor, the crippled, the blind. Go out into the streets. Go out into the alleyways and find people from the town and invite them in. So the servant goes out inviting, telling everyone, come to this party. Come to the party. It's going to be great. So it's all free. Eat as much as you want. Free booze. No, I don't know about that. It says, just come on in. So they all pile in. Then it says there's still plenty of space. There's still more room. So the master says, invite others from the country. He says, ask the farmers, the prospectors with their metal detectors, ask them, the drovers, the lads on the back of utes, invite them, get them all, invite them all to this party. And it says to urge anyone you find to come. Now the reason why is found in verse 23, so that my house will be full. See, God's house is to be a full house. Heaven is to be a full place. That's what we're talking about. The interpretation of this story is the people are people. They're invited. They're just everyday people. The banquet is in heaven, and the invitation comes from God, and Jesus invites you to attend the banquet. So the good news is that Jesus wants to work in us no matter what else happens in the world around us. Jesus wants to work in us no matter what happens in the world around us. It's a sure foundation that we need to place our feet upon. Now, what happens, though, is I read a couple of statements just yesterday. I'll share them with you. Today we have so much information available to us. So many sources of information. So here's a statement. Our wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. So what that's talking about is we have so much information that we can get info from. We get it from here, we get it from there, we see it. You know, it's just available everywhere. And there's an overload, an avalanche of information that is available to us. And out of that creates a poverty of our attention. So our attention span becomes very distracted because of so many other voices, so many other things that clamor for our attention, that get it. J.M. Connor says, I don't know J.M., but thank you, J.M., for this quote. "The voice of the modern world makes us deaf to the voice of God, drowning out the one input we most need." So I want to put this to you. Be in the crowd that attends the banquet in heaven. Jesus gives traction when everything else is slipping around you. I'm going to give you some traction points for life. We're going to move through them pretty quickly. Some traction points for life. They're not in order. They're just in random selection. Number one, if you're taking notes today, is godly counsel. Psalm 37, verse 30 to 31. "The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They have made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path." There's a great key there, a great point there. You never want to slip from the path of God. Have good counsel. See, the world around you, the world around your life, in your school, in your workplace, in your place where you work, wherever it is you find yourself, needs good counsel. We need good counsel. Give yourself traction in life. Get yourself some good counsel. Now, don't confuse godliness with those that share your opinions. You know, we're very, very good at that. We're thinking, I want godly counsel, I want some advice. So we seem to select those who agree with our opinion too. So easy, you find they're a dime a dozen. Oh yeah, they agree with me. Yeah, they see it the same way. Yeah, you tell me more. You tell me I was right. You tell me I can hang on to that grudge. You tell me why I shouldn't do this or that. You tell me why I should be stingy. You tell me all those things. So we find others, and we find them all the time around us that will share our opinions. Now, what I'm talking about here about godly counsel, this is about those who know the word and aren't afraid to use it. Those who know the word and aren't afraid to share it with you in wisdom. So godly counsel congratulates when you're right and corrects you when you're wrong. I'll say that again. Godly counsel congratulates when you're right. You've done a good job. That's fantastic. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. I want to tell you you're on the right path. And when you do something wrong, can correct you. You need people who do that. That's godly counsel. The world needs people that can bring godly counsel. Wherever you are in life, there are others around you who just need a morsel of godly counsel. A little bit of heavenly counsel, a little bit of wisdom that doesn't come from this life, that doesn't come from our experience. It comes from the heavenly realms that God wants to download to us to dispense to others. So the second key to traction is a godly foundation. Now Jesus is that foundation, and that it is a truth upon which we have a sure footing, a sure standpoint, something solid to anchor our feet to. Isaiah 33 verse 6 in the NIV says, "He will be the sure foundation for your times." And you know, we have uncertain times. We have slippery times right now. "He will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge, the fear," and I've added the word reverence, "of the Lord is the key to this treasure." See, there's a treasure. I mentioned earlier to posture yourself to receive some treasure today. And if I can say something to you today, that you need to come to the house of God expecting that you're going to come out with some treasure in your wallet, some treasure in your spiritual account. And God wants to bless you with treasure. So the treasure of wisdom and knowledge is a sure footing. When we have the Lord as our foundation, from a secure foundation, you know, we can, in buildings, in a building sense these days, if we have secure foundations, we can earthproof a building. We can cyclone-proof a building. We can flood-proof a building. It personally, we can drug-proof our life when we have a solid foundation. We can anger-proof our life when we have a solid foundation. We can temptation-proof our life when we have a solid foundation. We can proof from anything that makes us slip when we have the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ, on which everything else will stand firm. Jesus, the foundation of traction. When things start slipping around you, when you start to slide the wrong direction, you need to take a stand upon the Word of God, upon Jesus, and stand firm. The third key to traction is a godly devotion. And I use the word here to invest. Invest yourself time with Jesus. You don't spend time, you don't waste time when you have some personal time in the Lord's presence. What I'm talking about is a devotional time, a time where you pray, a time where you read the word, a time where you may spend some personal time in worship, just you in the presence of God. So when God was calling Gideon, who knows the story of Gideon? It's one of my favorite stories from Sunday school. When God was calling Gideon, Israel was in a slippery state. They were worshiping idols, enemies were invading. Their land was being robbed. They were taking all the food away. They were in a bad place. So in a slippery state. Judges 6 verse 26 says God selects Gideon and he starts to call him out for something. And he says to him, build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary. Laying the stones carefully, sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. Now, what is all this about? I want to talk about creating our own altar and hilltop sanctuary. You need a hilltop sanctuary in your life. A holy or sacred place that's for your spiritual good, for your protection. It's where your strength comes from. It's where the slide stops in your life. It's where your stronghold starts. See, the duck that lives in the sanctuary is the safe duck. The duck that flies outside the sanctuary is the dead duck. So I'm going to give you a few things. We have time this morning about this altar. The first thing we see in this scripture, it says, build an altar to the Lord. So this is about disciplining time with the Lord in the Word, praying and worshiping God. You need to develop that discipline in your life if you want to be a person who consistently beats the slide, because there's always going to be a slide happening in life that will try and slide you back further than where you've already come. And it only takes a short time to slide and lose a lot of ground. But you want to be a person who has a backstop to the slide, and you find that in a disciplined life in God. The second thing we see, it says, lay the stones carefully. So we're talking about an altar. It's like he's building a thing out of stones. It's a platform. It's a place where he's going to sacrifice something. It says, lay the stones carefully. What this talks about, what this is bringing to us is every revelation, every lesson from God is a stone. So you go back to building an altar. And now it says, lay the stones carefully. Every lesson from God is a stone. And when put together comes a place of sacrifice that pleases God. Your life becomes a sacrifice of honoring God. You know what God's calling you to do. You know what God's calling you not to do. You see the places where you should be and the places where you don't need to be. You see the people that you should have around you and those you don't need around you. And you see progress developing in your life because you've laid the stones carefully. So God wants to put stones in your life of revelation. You might grab a stone at church one day because you were in the house of God. You could have been worshiping and suddenly God begins to speak to you. You can have stones downloaded to you when you're in your personal time reading the Bible, and suddenly there's a revelation that comes alive to you, and that's a stone. You build that carefully into your life as an altar that brings honor to the house of God, that brings honor to your Lord. Understanding where we're going. Third thing we see. He says, sacrifice the bull using the Asherah idol as fuel. So this is about giving God priority over every past loyalty. So the thing is, this Asherah pole, yeah, what is that talking about? The Asherah pole was this whopping huge idol of Gideon's father, a family idol. Maybe they've been worshipping this thing for generations, I'm not sure. But it's an idol that represents things that are from our past that we stay loyal to. So the first platform that Gideon had to get past for him to be effective for the work of God was he had to destroy the loyalty to past things. The things that the family was loyal to, the things that were important, the things that we used to sacrifice to. God says, destroy it, get rid of it. And then God says, now, I want you to take the bull. Now, a bull represents his occupation, his career, his business. So the strength of the bull was very significant because that's what they would use to plow the fields. That's what they would use to bring in the harvest. It wasn't a John Deere bull or a case or anything like that. It was they didn't have those things. So the wealth that they could create came from the animals that they could work. That's just how it was. And God's saying, I want you to sacrifice that on the altar. And sometimes God will call you to sacrifice things that you find such security in, such strength in. And you say, I want you to trust me. I want you to lay that on the altar. I want you to burn that Asherah pole. It's one thing to chop it down. Sometimes we can cut things down, but you know what? Think, I'll just leave it there because I might be able to just put it back up again. I might change my mind in a week. I might feel a little bit discouraged in a few weeks, so we might just put that back up. God said first, get rid of the Asherah pole, get rid of that stuff, and then he says, now I want you to burn it. I want you to get rid of it. It's dealing with every past loyalty. So the Asherah pole represents an unholy religious loyalty. So Gideon became qualified when he obeyed what God told him to do. He stood on something solid, a firm foundation for his feet, because he obeyed what God had asked him to do. So time in the sanctuary caused Gideon to stand against the slide of the nation. And right now, God is looking for a church. God is looking for a person. God is looking for a believer who believes and says, doesn't matter what the slide is that's happening in our nation, I'm going to stand firm on the word of God. And we've got to be a people, a church of believers who say we can. We're going to see God move in people's lives. We're going to see the hand of God moving in our circumstances and situations. We believe in miracles. We believe in breakthroughs. And we're going to see the hand of God move in our situations. My fourth and final point, I can have some musicians join me, is godly mission. Traction is most needed to be effective in kingdom action. So slipping is never a good platform for winning. I do remember a situation where I knew a guy was a boxer. He was very talented. He had a lot of stamina. He was very strong, and was a trainer in his gym. And one particular night, was going to Preston Town Hall for they used to have these fight events. He was going there. It was a very big thing in his life. So we all went along to watch his fight. And the thing was, he was so excited that he got some new shoes, some new boots, whatever we called them, I can't remember. He got some new boots for this special night, and he was all prepared. But what no one told him is he had to scuff the bottom of the boot so they don't slip on the canvas. But he didn't do that, so they're all shiny and slippery. And so every 30 seconds he was on the floor, he was on the mat, not because he was being knocked down, it's because he just kept slipping down. And so he couldn't win because it was not a good platform for winning when you're slipping. You need to understand that if you want to win this thing of life, if you want to win this spiritual journey, you can't win from a place of slipping. You can't live when you're adapting to the slippery conditions around you. Just changing the focus a little bit now. In military terms, it's a very serious charge of being found asleep while on sentry duty. when being on guard duty. Very serious charge if you found asleep when you should have been on guard. Habakkuk 2 verse 1. Everyone say Habakkuk. Habakkuk is my favorite name in the Bible. Lucky Josh was the first son and got Joshua, because the second son would have been Habakkuk. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. So you can't get to the guard post if you're constantly slipping. See, every Christian is called to their watchtower, to their guard post. This is about our place of responsibility over what God has entrusted to each of us. Jesus gave commands that we see in the Word of God, and we treat them like they were just suggestions. And it's a very dangerous thing that we do. But Jesus' commands are not to be treated as suggestions. Luke 12, verse 35, there's one. He says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Verse 37, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It comes with a great promise when we've been watching at our watchtower for the Lord. So the spiritual winner is the one who has mastered time on the watchtower, on duty, serving others. Whatever that may mean for you, I kind of think there's plenty of places that God is calling His church to serve. We can serve in the community. We can serve out in the neighborhood where we live. And we also have a duty to serve in the house of God and to serve one another. See, the spiritual winner is the one who's mastered time on the watchtower. So the one who isn't sleeping, but the one who is watching. Jesus is with you to gain spiritual traction. He's with you, standing with you, so that you can gain traction. It's time to stop sliding and start climbing, people. It's time to stop sliding and start climbing. Psalm 18, verse 33. It says, He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. I want us to declare this together. Psalm 18, verse 33. Could I just ask you to stand again for a moment? And we're going to make a declaration together as we stand in the presence of Jesus today. And it's on the screen there. I'm going to ask that we speak this out as a declaration over ourselves. And I want you to take this away with you today, to declare over your life, to declare over the situations in which we face ourselves, because I don't think the world is going to get less slippery. I think we just need to have firmer foundations. So Psalm 18:33, let's read it together as a declaration. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. Let's say it again. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. We got to speak it regularly. Do it until we believe it. Speak it until we know it, until we start to say, I don't care what slide is happening around me. I have called to go to the heights. I've called to stand on high with the plans and purpose of God. Can I just pray with you this morning, church? So if we could just bow our heads for a moment, and let me pray for you today. We're going to pray for those who've been rocked by the circumstances of this year, rocked by the circumstances of our times. And you know that you've been slipping. You've been retreating. You've been losing ground. You've been losing faith. You've been losing confidence in the call and purpose of God for your life because of the slide that you've seen all around you. We're going to pray for solid footing so that slide stops today. We're going to pray over you for godly counsel in your life. We're going to pray for a godly foundation to be established. We're going to pray for a godly devotion life. We're going to pray for a godly mission to be reignited in your life again. So why don't we do that right now? Raise your hands. You're going to receive something valuable right now as I pray. So Lord, we just pray today for those who have been rocked by the circumstances of the times. Lord, the church has been rocked by the circumstances of these times, but it's time to stop sliding and it's time to start standing firm on the Word of God. So I just pray today over those people, particularly those who feel a sense of loss, feel a sense of grief, feel a sense of disillusionment. And Lord, we just pray today that there may be something imparted into our spirits today that lift our thinking, lift our mind, lift our countenance again to you. So Lord, help us out of the slippery and into the sure footings. We put our feet on the firm, trusted pathway of life found in Jesus. We declare Psalm 18, verse 33, that we are as sure-footed as a deer. Lord, you enable me to stand on mountain heights. And Father, I declare that over every person here today who needs a deposit of faith, who needs a deposit of confidence, who's had things taken from them on their slide. And I just pray today the slide stops here and stops now, that we may move together as a force for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can take your seats. Something that I always want to do in our church services is give people the opportunity to make their lives right with God. Maybe you've been away from God for a long time and you're here and you're thinking, I need to make myself right with God. I want to tell you something. I encourage you, you can and you should. Perhaps you're here today and you're thinking, well, I've never been a Christian before. I'm new to all this. I want to tell you something. The Word of God says that we can be born again. It means that we can have our past life dealt with. We're talking about sin in our life, because Jesus Christ came to deal with the issue of our sin that separates us from God. And the Bible also says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, then we'll be saved. We'll be taken out of our life of sin, and we'll be able to walk a whole new life. That's the whole foundation of the Christian faith. Every single church believes the same thing. That's what we're on about. That's what we do. We got a prayer that we use. You can just pop that up. Because I believe traction in our life starts in Jesus. It's found with Jesus. When we have that element of our life filled with Jesus as our Savior. So I'm going to ask that, if you're here today, perhaps we just close our eyes to allow for some privacy for some people. But if you're here today and you're thinking, hey, you're talking to me right now, there's something stirring in my heart, and I know I want to bridge the gap to God. I want to have my life changed. I'm sick of the slide. I want to have some traction back. If that's you today, why don't you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Yes, I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you very much. You can put your hands down. That's amazing. You can open your eyes. We're going to pray this prayer together. And for those who've raised your hands this morning, I want to encourage you. When you pray this prayer, they're not just words on a screen. There's something of a spiritual transaction that takes place in your spirit that can change you, that will change you from the inside for eternity. Let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross and rose again to forgive my sins. I ask that you forgive me. I give you my life, and I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Today, I am born again. I trust my future into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for those people who made that declaration this morning. It's the best thing that you could do. It's a whole new day for those people, and let's get around them and bless them and help them grow in the things of God. God bless you, church.